Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. So it's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for once again allowing us to gather here together. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us home safely from our trips and from this restful season. Please be with those who have not returned yet, Lord, and those who are on their way out. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we go through your word, as we study your word, Lord, as we hear your message. Please be with the pastor as he delivers your message, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to be apply these things, these teachings in our lives, Lord. May you be glorified in your most gracious name. Amen.
We, as a local church and ministry, are accountable to all those who are trusting us, those who trust us with their giving of money, their time, and help. But we are accountable to even a higher authority, God. Organizations are accountable to their members and shareholders. They must look at their investments to see whether they had profits or losses. And there are organizations who will look back and see that their shares went up all the way, double, triple. And of course, they will plan for the following year. And then you have organizations and companies and stores who look back and see that their losses were great. And then they will have to see how they can do better. We all are accountable for the way we invest and manage our life. In other words, we all are responsible for our actions and inactions. For example, to our wife, husband, parents, boss, teachers, friends. Actually, commitments are cheap. Keeping them is expensive. Every time you look at your bank account and you look at how much you spend during the season or during the Christmas season or New Year, you come to a conclusion that you have to, you are accountable to yourself and to the family. Every time you step on that scale, you feel that you are accountable to yourself. You must do better. So we are accountable for every action, for every time you take the second piece of cake, there is accountability. Something is going to happen. We should remember that there is a time of accountability. But sadly, most people forget that they are accountable to the ultimate authority, God, our creator and giver of all things. Actually, accountability is made of two words or combined of ability and count. You count your ability, or your according to your ability, you are accountable. The rich man of the story in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, was going away on a long journey. And so he called his servants. These were living servants, part of the household actually, and gave them their final instructions and some money to each one of them, and told them to stay and work while he was away. Now, what is a talent? The term first was used for a unit of weight, 75 pounds. Then it was used for a unit of money. Today, the word talent usually indicates an ability. In other words, he asked them to use their abilities to run the household or the business because he intended to come back. I believe that the gifts we have are not necessarily a talent, although a talent is a gift. The gift is even life itself is a gift from God. And so we are accountable for everything God has given us. God has given you the ability to function, the ability to be here this morning, the ability to work, the ability to do whatever you've been doing. And for all these, you are accountable. I am accountable. He gave each one according to his ability. Just as the talents, gifts God gives us are personalized, he gave enough money, or the amount of money he gave or talents he gave to each were personalized. He knew that the first could do well, so well that may double his gifts or the money. The second was also gifted enough to double his. And the third one was able to double his gift. And the master, knowing their abilities, he gave them the gift, if you wish, or the talents. There are four things in this story that I would like us to look at this morning. First, the master's kindness. The servants, slaves, had nothing. Slaves did not even own their bodies, let alone riches. And they had no claim on their master. In other words, their master owed them nothing. Yet he, in his kindness, gave them his riches, some of his riches, to use and produce. They were about to use everything in that household. He actually not only gave them 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, he also gave them the house. He said, you can stay here. You can have the food we have. You can use everything we have. So enjoy yourselves, but also produce. If I were here, you would work. You would serve. You would do all kinds of things. And I'm not here now. I won't be with you. And yet, you must produce. Second, the two servants who improved their talents. First thing we see is the master's kindness. He was very kind. Second, the two servants who improved their talents. They got down to work right away. I believe that time is very important. And postponing things is our enemy. Postponing investment costs money. Postponing our abilities costs us all kinds of things that could happen, or blessings if you wish. Postponing and saying, well, I'll do it tomorrow, is not a good policy. And we have now a brand new year. We have entered a year right now. And so let's plan right away to invest these gifts wisely. Second, the work was faithfully carried on. They did not stop or slow down using their talents, even though their master was not around. Now, the temptation would have been, the master is not around. Let's just, first of all, have some fun. Let's have a party. Let's just visit our friends. Let's go out and do something else. It is very important. I am very important to myself, so let me just take care of myself. No, these servants, right away, they went and invested the money that their master had given them. Now, money, in your case, may be your gift to counsel someone, your gift to work for nothing, if you wish, to help someone that needs your help. Your gift may be singing, your gift may be writing, your gift may be whatever God has given you. And it's interesting that it was a coincidence that I brought you this message this morning, because right after the message this morning, this afternoon, we'll be getting together the nominating committee to see who can serve in this ministry, in this mission for a year. And you may be getting some calls asking you to serve on this committee or that committee or do that work or the other. And just remember that God has given you the gifts, and these gifts have been recognized by people in the church, and now they are asking you to invest those gifts wisely for Him. Third, they were successful. They actually doubled their talents, whatever was given to them. And I said last Sunday, if every one of us had invited one person to church and was successful enough to bring one person to church, you can invite 10, 20, 100. But if one of these people had stayed, and if every one of us had invested time and effort and whatever gifts God has given us to bring one, this church would have been filled today. And if the same thing had happened the following year, then the upstairs would be filled. So investing in God's business is very important. And fourthly, they were ready to give an account. And that's very important. They were ready to give an account. They did not say, well, you know what, excuse me, I don't know whether the money has matured. I don't know this. They were ready at any time to give an account to the master. The question is, if our master comes, our Lord comes and asks us to give an account of the gifts and the blessings He has given us, will we be ready to give an account? Or will say, well, I was planning to do it, but I didn't have any time. I was busy. And when their master came, they were rewarded generously. Now, their master, I don't know whether he planned it this way. I don't know whether Jesus gave this parable to give them a hint about their talents, or Jesus used this parable to say that we must always be ready to work. Also, He is ready to reward us for every effort we do. They received praise. He said, "Well done." He didn't say, "Well, you could have done better." No, he said, "Well done. You doubled the amount. Well done. I mean, I gave you the gift of singing," says to Elise, who sings faithfully every Sunday, "and you've done it every Sunday. Well done, you in your shop making hamburgers. You're doing such a good job that, you know, I've been blessing you." He goes to Jacques and says, "You are in the investment business. I don't know about you, but now I better check your books." But if he is faithful to the Lord and using his gift, God is going to say, "Well done." Every one of us has a gift that can be used for His glory. Then the master said to them, after he said to them, gave them praises, they received promises. The master didn't only say, "Well done," but he promised them things. He said, "I will put you on in charge of many things." Now, sometimes we are complaining for not being promoted in business. We complain for not being asked to do something that is important. Sometimes we are hurt because the church or the company or the family or friends have not recognized our gift and have elevated us and put us on a pedestal. And yet we must realize that first we have to prove ourselves. First we have to be worthy of that praise. And unless we produce and we do something that is worthy of the praise of others, we cannot expect the praises of others. They received glory. "Come and share your master's happiness," he said. "Come and share your master's happiness." Now, one doubled his five and made it ten. The other one doubled his money and made it four. And then the master comes and says, "Now come and share." I don't know what that means to you, but it means to me that whatever they doubled, whatever they produced, now will help them enjoy it. You know, whatever they did actually comes back to them. It's like the story of this big big contractor who had a worker, and this worker worked faithfully very many years and worked hard, and he did a good job. And his master, his actually boss, the company president, said to him, "Okay, I have one more assignment for you. You go and build the best possible house and use the best whatever you can. Build another house. I'm not going to tell you anything else. Go and build." So this man went and he half-heartedly built something that was not great. He said, "Oh, this is my last job." And he cut corners and he did this and did the other. And finally it was finished. And the boss comes and says, "Congratulations, this is for you. I asked you to build the best possible house for you." And so now the worker was so sorry that he didn't do better. Well, God has given you an opportunity, and He says, "Here, you've got a voice, you can speak. You got eyes, you can see. You have feet, you can walk. You've got a brain that works, still works. You've got all kinds of gifts and education. Go and build the best possible thing for your future." And we ignore all that, and we are satisfied with chips and whatever, cheap stuff. And then at the end, we realize in eternity that we wasted our time for nothing. First was the master's kindness. Second, the two servants who improved their talents. Third, the servant who buried his talent. The one who received one talent went and buried it. Verse 18 says, he just dug a hole and buried it. Well, that says something to me about myself. I look back and I realize that for many years I dug a big hole and I was very comfortable in that hole. There was a comfort zone that I didn't want to come out from. And until God convicted me one day to come out from that hole and expand my life and see how God could use me, I did not realize that I was in a hole. So this man dug a hole and buried that treasure. There were at least five things that characterize this unfaithful servant. First, ungratefulness. Although he is living on and is consuming his master's riches, he does nothing to improve nor plans to improve his personal account. He buries his talent. You sing well, and yet you've never sang for anyone. You can teach, and yet you've never taught anyone. You can clean the floors so well, better than anyone, and you've never offered to clean floors. You can build a whatever, and you've never offered to do it. So you have buried your gift. Ungratefulness. If we are grateful to God for the gifts He has given us, then we'll use them for His glory. Second, indifference toward His master's wishes and the talents that His master entrusted Him. His master's priorities were not His own. God's priorities should be our own priorities. I've heard people say, well, you know, church or reading the Bible or prayer or going to Bible study are not my first priority. First of all, I have to take care of myself or my family. It is true that the family is very important. As a matter of fact, after God, I believe the family is important. And yet, when you put God first, and if He is your first priority, you know what He's going to tell you? Okay, thank you. Well, I don't know whether He's going to say thank you. Okay, be blessed. But now go and take care of your family. For the Bible says, if a man does not provide for his family, it is worse than an infidel. So that means when we have our priorities straight and God is our first priority, God says, go and take care of your family. And then the second priority is taking, third priority if you wish, taking care of ourselves. He said, God said, you are my temple, a holy place where I live. So you see, we start with God. We put God first as our first priority, and we do whatever He says. And because He has created us, and because He is the creator, and He is the designer, He knows what we can produce. When I work on an electronic piece of equipment, I know the ability of that machine. God is the same. Third, idleness. He does nothing. Can you imagine? This man has been blessed. He has a nice home. He has now the freedom to sit and do anything. All he has to do is invest the talent God has given him. And he's idle. Fourth, he neglects his duty. Neglect of duty. While the other servants were using their talents, gifts, he was probably doing nothing. Well, maybe he was having just too much fun doing nothing. And many of us enjoy the freedom to do nothing or enjoy too much being idle. Today, it could be just having too much fun doing things that give pleasure to the flesh. In other words, the servant's comfort and pleasures were his priorities. Even a small effort would have produced some fruit. Even if he had gone out and just give it to someone and say, okay, I'm giving you a dollar or hundred. Actually, these were hundreds of thousands of dollars, the big amount. I'm giving you $100. Instead of giving me $200 back, give me $120. At least a little bit. He did nothing. The Bible says, anyone who knows the good and he ought to do and does not do it, sins. The sin of omission is judged. And fifth, foolish reasoning. He said, I know you are a hard man. He was looking for excuses. Today is the same. Who can please God, someone may say? Or who am I to even try to please God, someone else may say? Or God can do some, can find someone else or can use someone else, are some of the excuses people use today. Well, you know, when it comes to asking someone to do something, you always have the fear that's going to say, well, I'm too busy. Well, if God had said that every time you went for prayer, if God said, I'm too busy now running the universe, I'm too busy now looking after the complexity of running this earth, let alone the universe of 7 billion people who are always complaining, then you would never have had a chance to speak to God. But God is always ready to hear you. First, I'm repeating this, the master's kindness. Second, the two servants who improved their talents. Third, the servant who buried his talent. And fourth, accountability. The rewards to the faithful ones and an awful punishment to the unfaithful one. There were rewards to the faithful ones and punishment to the unfaithful one. Romans 14:12 says, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. This is what the Bible says. If you claim to be a Christian, if you believe in the Bible, also listen to what Paul says. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. 1 Peter 4:5 says, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Yes, God is loving. Yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Yes, some people preach and say, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your failures. Jesus is love and Jesus will never reject you. And that is so true when you, if you are the follower of Jesus Christ. But if you are not following Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you are accountable, says, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The response of the master makes it very clear that regardless of what the amount they received was, they were still accountable to him. They were rewarded and praised. Both were told, I'll put you in charge of many things. Can you imagine if you produce and to please God? God is going to bless you and multiply those blessings. Not necessarily wealth, not necessarily money, but he will give you something better than money, better than wealth. God gives us talents to use. All of us, without exception, have talents. Some have obvious talents. Others have hidden talents. Some have many gifts, some few. But we all have talents that can be used and bring glory to God and bless others. The rewards are based on our faithfulness and commitment to our Lord's service and not on how big or impressive our gifts seem to be. To the unfaithful servant, his master said, "You wicked, lazy servant, take away the talent from him." And he stripped this unfaithful servant of all the privileges and talents given to him. But that was not the end. He had to pay the price of being unfaithful. What a terrible ending. And I quote verse 30, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If this man had earned one talent with his talent, he would have received the same kind of reward as the others. Instead, all he had to show for his life was a hole in the ground. There are many lessons to be learned from this story, but I believe that the main purpose Jesus told them this story was to make them and us understand that there are only two kinds of servants, the faithful and the unfaithful. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unfaithful and unprofitable Christian. Being a Christian involves more than playing it safe and doing as little as possible or nothing. It demands a service that produces results. Many go to church to be blessed and get some kind of spiritual high. But others go to church to be a blessing to others. What about us? What about you? God does not want us to be successful by the world standards. He wants us to be faithful. Are you faithful? Am I faithful? God does not reward unfaithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. If there is one resolution we must make for this new year, it should be the following. I want to be a faithful servant and serve joyfully and effectively. Understanding your responsibility and accountability will make you a productive servant. Apostle Paul says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man." How are you doing on your accountability department? Are you making your life count? It is a good question that I had to ask myself. How is my accountability department in my life? Have I made my life count? When I leave this earth, it could be right now, could be a few years from now, will people remember me for doing something to help someone or for serving somewhere, whatever? Or they will just not even miss me because I had dug a hole and I was hiding in there. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us so many gifts and abilities. Please forgive us for very often looking at someone else's abilities and desiring to have those rather than ours. And yet you know our ability. And you know how we produce or can produce. Thank you for your gifts. Please strengthen each one of us. Give us a vision. Give us the strength that we'll need to go on living and producing. Father, I also pray for your presence in our daily life, your help. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen each one of us and mend our lives. And prepare us to serve you even better this year. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.